Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I told him to take his liberties and preach for a couple hours, a good couple hours. So, I'm joking.
Yeah, last sermon of the year. I'm just going to cram it all in. We're just going to get a lot in here. All righty, guys. Man, it's wild to look back and see what Jesus has done this year in our city. It's crazy. I'm so thankful that I'm at a church and a family here that we don't believe in just, going to church on Sundays and that's it. Like, that's Christianity. It's like, oh, it's so much more. We've gone to the nations this year. We've seen thousands of souls get saved. We right here at the Boys and Girls Club right there, we saw hundreds and hundreds, 500 salvations right there. Like, God is alive and well in our city. He's on the move. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. I remember on this stage this year, someone getting up and talking about being healed of cancer. Someone else got up and talking about being healed of diabetes. Things that you'd say is impossible, we saw this year God do. And it's an exciting time to be alive and in the city. And I'm just so thankful for this family. But as I was like praying, okay, God, what do you want to do for this service? Usually I would think that since we're kind of in that awkward week between Christmas and the new year, you know, we're kind of coming out of that sugar coma, you know, or we're kind of trying to, I don't know, I'm going to start working out on Monday, you know, like I'm going to get as much food in as I can right now, you know. And so, but we're thinking resolutions for the new year. We're thinking, okay, what's my goal? What's my vision? You know, going after. That's kind of what we're thinking of. So I would have assumed that I would be talking about that. But as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord actually said that if you count your blessings of yesterday, you'll actually be prepared for the blessings of tomorrow. And that if you look back at everything I've done in 2019, it's going to set you up to enter through the gates of the new year with thanksgiving and praise. If you walk through the new year in that, it'll be the foundation for 2020. And so I felt like the Lord actually said, don't talk about what's going to be going after 2020. Be thankful and cultivate a thankful heart for everything I've done in 2019, and that will set you up for 2020, you know? And kind of like in Revelations 19:10, how it says that the testimony of Jesus, that's past. That's the testimony, that's the gospel, what Jesus did, but also what he's done in my life. My testimony of how the Lord changed my life. He saved me from depression. He saved me from like suicide. He saved me from fear. He saved, like, that's the testimony of Jesus past. But if you know the second after the verse, it says, is the spirit of prophecy. That's future. Because if he did it back then, he's going to do even greater things in the future. That if I can actually be thankful for everything he's done, I believe it prophetically unlocks something to have faith for the next year, right? And so as we look, today we're going to look at thankfulness. What does it mean? What is it actually? Because most of my life, I thought thankfulness was just a feeling. Like, yeah, I feel thankful. Cool, you know. Or, oh, I should really be more thankful. You know, you hear your parents like, be more thankful, you know, right? And you're, okay, fine, right? So I thought that was pretty much it. But what I've learned is it's so much more than that. So we're going to go after what is it actually and how do I just practically cultivate it and kind of get it into my life. Are you guys okay to go on this journey with me today as we go after what is thankfulness? Yeah? Are we alive today? We're good? Yeah? We're excited for the last sermon of the year? All right. So when I was going after thankfulness, the way I kind of stumbled over, fell over backwards into it, I feel like, is actually I was having, oh man, have you ever had a week that you feel was just like the devil stole your planner and wrote all over it, you know? Like, it was just a week right from hell. Like, the devil just, like, he just got a hold of your calendar, right? And he planned it all out, right? Have you ever had one of those weeks where you're like, this is the worst week ever? Or am I the only one? That's happened? Okay. My girlfriend says it happened to her. Thank you for supporting me. Anyone else? Is there anyone else that has had that? Thank you. It's real, right? If we're going to be real, like, this happens. Thank you. Thank you, Laurel. Right? And so, but it was one of those weeks. I went away on vacation. I went to Hawaii. It was awesome. Like, so good, right? But I come back. The week I get back, I lose my wallet. And you're like, oh, man, now I'm not, I got to get the license thing and all my cards, and I can't withdraw money out of my bank account, right? And so I'm like trying to work on the little cash I have left because I can't withdraw any money, and I'm waiting like 7 business days for a new card, you know, right? And you're just like, oh man, you feel paralyzed. At this, literally the same time, the rods in my engine broke and my car was gone, just gone, right? I'm like, oh man, you know, right? Literally the same time, I play a lot of instruments, piano, guitar, right? That something happened in my wrist. I started getting like a carpal tunnel, and I couldn't even play a chord for 2 or 3 minutes without severe pain coming in my wrists. And I'm like, no, this is how I'm getting through the stress is worshiping, and now I can't do that, right? And then literally the same week as well, like the tendons on my knees got all messed up, and I'm a runner and I could only make it about 0.5 mile. And then my knee literally would start swelling up and I would be limping through. So I'm like, I can't drive to work. I can't even walk to work. Like I can't worship. I can't. And it's one of those weeks where you're just like, what is going on? Right? Has anyone had something like that? And I'm sitting there and I'm having a pity party. I'm sending out invitations to everyone. You know, if you love me, accept. Come to my pity party, you know, right? And I'm just sending them all out, right? But Jesus isn't accepting the pity party. You know, he's not declining either. It's just that annoying maybe question mark here. Are you coming or not? You know, like commit, right? And so, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? And I thought I'd get some, oh, I love you, my son. You know, I'm with you. You're going to be. And I didn't, nothing. All I heard clear as day, thankfulness is your weapon. That's all I heard. And I was like, what? And I felt like he said, you will get through this through thankfulness. And I said, what? And I thought thankfulness was a feeling. So I said, what? I'm just going to try to be thankful more, I guess. How is that going to get me through this? And I felt the Lord challenge my heart and say, you need to actually learn what thankfulness is and to dive in after it. And so are you okay if I just talk to you about my journey, what I learned, what thankfulness is? So thankfulness, I went and I just looked up. Colossians 3:15 was the first verse I found about thankfulness. It's in the New Testament. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. He wrote this, the author of this, Paul, wrote this as he's in jail, as he's being persecuted for his faith. He writes, and be thankful. Almost as if his thankfulness is not coming from his earthly circumstances, but from like a heavenly mindset. Not down up, but up down. He's thinking up here in heaven and saying, you know, I'm going to live up here and be thankful regardless of the fact that I'm in chains. That says a lot. It's so much more than a feeling. I looked up, what is that word thankful in the Greek? Like, what does it actually mean? And it's the Greek word eucharistos. Eucharistos. And it's really split between two words. Just like thankful is, you know, full of thanks, right? It can split into two words. Eucharistos splits into two words, you and charismai. You is the word used when they say, the verse that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's that word you. And you means well done. It means prosperous. It means good job. It's well. That's what that word you means. Charismai, on the other hand, though, this word means to give graciously. And it's the word used in Luke 7 where it says he gave them sight. He graciously gave it to them. That's that word, charisma. It means more than that, though. It says to give graciously, but it also says it's a deliverance by giving and by forgiveness. It's the word used when it says in Luke 7, they had nothing which to repay and he freely forgave them. That word forgive right there is charisma. Because they couldn't earn it and they were delivered from their debts. They were delivered by a free gift. That's what that word charisma means. And so when you put them together to this word eucharistos, you, I'm well, I prosper, I'm good, charisma, because I have been freely forgiven and delivered and set free. And you put that word together and we translated it thankful. And so thankful, my first point is this, that thankfulness is the gospel. It literally means I am well because I have been forgiven. that I prosper because I have been delivered. That's actually what this word means. You see, every time you choose thankfulness, you are actually preaching the gospel to yourself and to everyone around you. You're saying, I'm okay because Jesus forgave me. That's literally what thankfulness means. Whether big things or small things, right? It's when you say, I am thankful for my house, you're actually reminding your heart, you know, I'm doing well. I have a house. I've been delivered from this like houseless, roofless life. I have a home. I have an apartment. I have a room I'm renting. Like I literally am not in the rain, you know, like I've been set free and delivered. And you're reminding your heart, yeah, all right, because Jesus saved my life, he gave me a roof, I'm good, I'm okay. This is what you're doing when you're saying I'm thankful. When you do it for little small things. I was saying kind of last service how I picture it like when they say count your blessings, you gotta literally count it like you're doing a budget. You know, when you do it in your budget, you're counting your money to kind of know, preparing your money from last month sets you up for this next month. With the counting your blessings, you're looking at, okay, this is what God has done. So that sets me up for what he's going to do. Sometimes it's a big blessing, like a $100 bill. You're like, oh, that God did awesome stuff. Sometimes all you can do is count the little pennies of like, I have coffee today. Great, right? The little penny of blessing, right? There's times where you have to count every little blessing. When you say, thank you, God, for this coffee or this tea, right? You're literally saying, oh, God, I've been delivered from a sleepy life. Like, I've been delivered from this horrible, like, morning, like, waking up, you know? Like, you have set me free, God. Thank you for coffee, God. Like, it's so much more than just being, thank you, whatever. Yeah, sure, I'm thankful, I guess. You have to literally count it. It counts. It really counts. When there's an author and pastor, his name's Mark Batterson. He wrote that, you know, most of us are good at praising God for the big things, but we fail to praise God for the little things. We're good at praising God after the fact, but not a second before. Have you ever thanked God before something happened? Remember the testimonies, the spirit of prophecy. When you thank him for the past, you're actually prophesying over your future. Have you ever thanked him before the gift came, before the redemption came, before the healing came? Thank him that he already is the healer, right? And so my when I first moved here, I was 20 years old. I moved back here, and I moved into Valerie Fogelstrom's house, and Benjamin was there, which by the way, Ben, can you hold up your amazing fiance's hand? Guess who got engaged yesterday? Just saying. Sorry, commercial break. You should slip them some money. Just saying. Right? I moved in with Benjamin. Congratulations, guys. So excited. So I moved in with Ben and Valerie. We had a mutual friend who said, hey, I had nowhere to live. He said, hey, you can crash with me for like a month. They said, it's a really cool family. They said you could move in for like a month or so, right? And so he wasn't there. He was at work, and I show up at the door of Valerie Fogelstrom's house, and she answers, and I say, hi, I'm Taylor, and I'm holding a duffel bag. I said, my friend said I could move in. And she's like, your Christian's friend? Yeah. When are you thinking? And I said, now. And she's like, oh, do you need to go get your stuff? And we both looked at my duffel bag. I was like, I got it. And she's like, okay, well, let me give you the tour, right? And just pulled me into her house, right? And we had a room, my friend and I, and we had nothing. We had little, like, mats, like the little bamboo mats as our mattress, and we had nothing in the room, right? But we believed in a God who's miraculous, even in the little things. And we were saying, let's be thankful before it ever happens. And so rather than making a prayer list of, please, God, please, 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 we said, you know, God, you want to bless us. We believe that. Let's make a list. And we literally titled the list, Thank You, God, For. And we wrote everything we needed, and we began to thank him for that before it ever even happened. We said, what do we need? Thank you, God, for beds. We need beds. Thank you for a mattress. Bed frame's better. Bed frame and a bed. Yes, right? And we wrote that down. Thank you, God. And then we're like, there's no microwave in this house. We want a microwave. Thank you, God, for a microwave, right? And so, and then we're like, thank you, God, for we need to cook things better. Like, George Foreman grill. Thank you, Lord, right? And we just like, literally as like, we everything, right? When we put, we need cars. We need cars, right? Jobs. Jobs are important. Let's thank you, God, for a job. That one should have been first. Whatever. It's after microwave, right? And so, right? But priorities, right? And so jobs, yes. And so, and we began every night and every morning, we would pray over it together and be like, you know, thank you, God. There's a bed out there with our name on it, right? There's a bed, right? There's a microwave for us. You know, we began to thank him before it ever even happened. And Valerie was my witness. Ben is my witness. Every day we'd be coming through the hallway with some other crazy miracle story of some free item we got off the list. Literally, we'd be walking and someone's like, do you need a microwave? Yes. Thank you. Right? Right? We'd walk. We found literally free mini fridge. Oh, we just took it. Right? And we like... every single thing on the list got checked. We were both given a car, right? We were both, we even put Christmas tree on there. And one day I opened the door and walked in. I couldn't even get the door open. My roommate's there with a 6-foot tall Christmas tree in the middle of our room, right? And he looks out from behind it. Oh, it was the greatest thing. We're like, thank you, God. We didn't have ornaments. So we just took like game controllers and hung them in our hat and our keys. I put my keys up there and we tie our shoes and we threw it up there. We're like, this is the most beautiful tree in the world, right? Because it's a tree of thankfulness, right? It's the most ghetto, beautiful tree in the world, right? And so I put sunglasses on it, right? And so we thanked God before it happened and every single thing, because what happened is I believe that by actually thanking him in advance, we were tapping in and we are prophesying over our future. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And there was something I believe that began to unlock when we entered in to this Thanksgiving moment. Joel Osteen, he said that one of the main reasons we lose our enthusiasm in life is because we've become ungrateful. We let what was once a miracle become common to us. And we get so accustomed to his goodness that it becomes a routine. It's so sad. Now I look at my bed and I'm like, I need a better bed. You know? But remember when that bed was a miracle? Remember when that microwave was a miracle? Remember when someone bought me lunch and it was a miracle because I wasn't going to eat that day? When you remember what he's done and when you walk with thankfulness for the little things, it cultivates this wonder in your heart once again. If you're bored in your faith, I'm sorry, but you're probably not very thankful for your faith. If you don't have wonder anymore, there's a good chance you've lost your gratefulness over the little miracles. He's giving so many of the miracles are in the minimal. So many miracles come, those little pennies you got to count and say, wow, look what he did for me. I remember what he's done. See, the battle is often won in the expression of the thankfulness. It's not just saying, yeah, I'm thankful in here, you know, whatever. It's expressing it. Husbands, wives, or boyfriends, girlfriends, parents, whatever it is, any relationship. Is it enough to say, you know what, I told you I loved you once, you know it, I don't need to keep saying it. You should know. Like, whoa, you won't get in trouble, say that one, right? You know, you want your kids to be in counseling, be like, I told you once. You know, I love you. I'm never seeing it again, right? Like, whoa, no, right? It's in the expression of the love that the intimacy is cultivated. It's in saying, son, I love you, right? That there it waters this relationship. So many of us, we never thank God. And we say, oh, well, he knows. It's in the expression of God, thank you for my car. That you are actually watering that intimacy with him once again. A practical number one step for you is this. How do you cultivate Thanksgiving? Literally count your blessings. Literally. Get a journal. I write every night. I write out 10 things I'm thankful for. Every morning I write out 10 things I'm thankful for. And I saw it began to actually cultivate an intimacy in my heart with him once again. And I won't go too much in the detail for time's sake, but there was a whole study about these people who were struggling with mental illness and depression. And they did a study where they gave all of them free counseling to help them out. But to a third of the group, they said, you'll get counseling, but we also want to ask you to write out thankfulness. And what they did is they studied 4 months later, the people, the group who wrote out their thankfulness literally were mentally more stable and not depressed. And they saw a shift. These people said that they reported happiness even a year later. And one, they did MRIs on the people, on all of them, and they said that the people who wrote out their thankfulness, it says this, that when they did the MRI, that there was activation of their medial prefrontal cortex. I don't know what that means, but the scientist says that this indicates that simply expressing gratitude may have lasting effects on the brain. Practicing gratitude may help train the brain to be more sensitive to the experience of gratitude down the line. And this could contribute to improved mental health over time. It literally rewires and begins to shift your brain, kind of like in Romans 12:2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you by the renewal of your thoughts. Or I love this version. It says, let him transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It literally begins to shift your mind biologically. And so this was so on God's heart in the early church that they actually, well, you guys know communion, it's where you take the body, the blood is the representation with bread and juice, and you remember Jesus dying on the cross, right? So in the Catholic Church, in the Orthodox Church, they still call it the original name, which is the Eucharist. The word Eucharist is the word Eucharistos. It literally means thankfulness. And because they named it that, because every time they stopped and they took the body and they took the blood, they took the bread and the juice as remembrance, they stopped themselves and said, thank you that I am well because I am forgiven. And they said, let's name this ceremony thankfulness, the Eucharist. So point two is this, that what is thankfulness? Thankfulness is communion with God. Every time that you choose to intentionally say, God, stop and say thankfulness, you're taking communion in your heart with the Lord. And you're growing in that connection with him. Once again, that simple posture, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. It's communion. Meister Eckhart, he said that if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough. Practical step number two is just this, just trying to give you some practical things today of how do you get thankfulness in your heart, is this: schedule, this sounds weird, but literally schedule a time and a place for Thanksgiving. We do that for communion, right? We don't say, oh, I'll just take communion when I feel like it, you know, like, sure, you know, we say, no, let's take a moment, schedule it. We do the first Sunday every month, right, to take communion. Same thing. This is scriptural. In 1 Chronicles 23:30, the way they have the temple going, it says that the priests were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise at evening. And so when I read that, I was like, all right, that's my strategy. Every morning, I'm going to write out 10 things I'm thankful for, and every night, I'm going to do the same thing, because that's what the priest did. That's what I'm going to do, right? And I found that when you start your day focusing on all that he's given to you, and you end your day focusing on all that he's given to you, there's something that happens in your heart where you just begin to come alive in love with him again. So that's just a quick practical for you. So the New Testament is written in Greek. Old Testament was in Hebrew. Are you guys okay if I just for a moment talk about what the Hebrew word for thankfulness means? So when I looked that up, the Hebrew word is the Hebrew word yada, okay? Yada. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yada, yada, right? But yada, right? It means this, to thank God and to praise God. So to thank him with praise. It's usually translated to the word praise, but it's thankfulness and praise. And it's specifically lifting your hands in worship to God. That's why in worship, we're all singing. You don't even know why, but your hands just start to, you're like, what's happening to my hands? Right? That's yada. Like, it's scriptural. It's in you. You just start to just lift up a sound of worship and thankfulness to God. And that word thankfulness, yada, when it became a name, became the name Judah. How many of you have heard the name Judah before? It was one of the tribes of Israel that became, that God said is the kings of all the land, as if to say the ones, the tribe of thankfulness and praise will be the rulers of the land. The ones who set the culture of the land, the tribe of thankfulness. Jesus in the physical, he comes from the line of Judah. That's his tribe. That's why his nickname is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, as if to say he comes through thankfulness and praise. This isn't a feeling, it's a kingdom advancement. And so there's this verse, we were singing it today, I love it. We sang the being enthroned upon the praises. It's Psalms 22:3. It says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. That word praise is the same word, yada. And it literally means, he's saying that you create a throne for God in whatever situation that you release thankfulness in. So yes, if we're going through a tragedy, if we're going through pain, if we're going through hardship, if you want God to have a place in that situation, find something to praise him for. And you could say, God, I don't get it. This is hard. But God, I thank you. You're the healer. God, I thank you. You're the redeemer. I thank you. You're going to deliver me. I don't know how this hurts. I'm in pain, but I know you're still good. And I thank you for your goodness. And you, when you through it begin to release thanks, it sets up a throne for him to come into that situation and rule over that situation. But according to this verse, if thankfulness is a throne for God, who's enthroned when you complain? Who becomes enthroned when you speak out complaint and negativity and the opposite of things? I believe the devil's enthroned. And when I release just this hatred or this gossip or this complaining, oh man. So often I think that people, we underestimate our intentions. We overestimate our intentions and we underestimate the power of our words. We're like, oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, I was just saying stuff. And it's like, oh, no, dude. You don't realize what you're actually spiritually doing. And so point four was this, is just that complaining is a throne for Satan. And when I have a moment that happens, I have a choice to set up one throne or set up another throne in any situation. Even hard, good ones, hard ones, whatever, normal ones, right? When you, even if it's shallow, you're stuck in traffic. You have a moment to say, you know, I'm going to turn this into a worship set and turn on the thing and start worshiping God, right? Or you have a moment to be like, oh, I hate traffic. I hate, right? And you're inviting, hey, devil, you want to just come sit with me in the car? I saved a spot for you. When you're at work or you're in your cubicle or whatever, and you're complaining about your boss and you're saying, hey, Satan, come sit with me in here. When you, over your wife or your kids or your husband or your parents or whatever, when you complain and just complain and complain and complain about them, you're saying, hey, Satan, you want a spot at the dinner table with my family? Like, it's so much more than you realize. And then we wonder why we can't get breakthrough in that area. You're not going to get breakthrough in any area that the devil has a throne. You're like, hey, come sit here. Why can't I get breakthrough here? It's so weird. Right? If you want to see breakthrough, start giving praise over that exact same situation and set up a throne for the king to come sit down. And then your breakthrough will come. I'm telling you, this is what happens. And so, the last one is this, that word yada means thankfulness and praise. But when I look down one more definition of just kind of what it means, it literally means this, to shoot an arrow. And remember when God told me, thankfulness is your weapon? When I read that, I was like, there it is. Yeah, it's there. It's real. Like, it literally means, and it's in the verse used when it says God commands them to shoot the arrows at the enemy. It's the same word for thankfulness and praise. So let me give you a real practical example. When you speak blessing over, let's say, America, over the nation, right? When you're like, thank you, God, for America. Thank you, God, for our free will. Thank you, God, for our blessing. Thank you for our prosperity. Thank you. What you're doing is each time you're releasing arrows into the spirit, right? And you're pushing back darkness over our nation. You're pushing back the devil's plan over our nation. You're pushing back demonic powers. We say, thank you, God. Thank you for them. Thank you. That's what you're doing. But the reverse is true. When you just speak hatred or complaints, I hate that political party. I hate that governor. I hate whatever, this group. I hate the president. That's a hot topic. When you speak these things out, you're shooting demonic arrows right into our government. And you're shooting yourself because you're saying, God, send revival to America. I hate that person. We have a lot of friendly fire going on, right? And you have a choice. Which army are you going to be on? You can either thank God for the leaders that he has right now, or you can complain about them and speak death over them and wonder why America's so bad, right? And so I got convicted of this with 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Why is it petition, prayer, intercession is spiritual warfare? Notice how thanksgiving is on the same line as petition, prayer, intercession, thanksgiving. Why? Because it's spiritual warfare. It's just as much power as your prayer, intercession, and petitions, right? Because it's a weapon of the Lord that he's chosen. And so it's verse 2 goes on and says, to give thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. Do you know who the king and emperor was when he said this? It was a demonic guy. It was horrible. He was an emperor who would take Christians, skin them alive, tie them to poles for his dinner parties and light them on fire to light his parties. Torture them. That's what the emperor did to Christians in these days. And he is in jail by this government. And he says, let thanksgiving be made for them. Because he understands it's spiritual warfare. And the way the government will change would be thanking God over them. And so what I've done is when the last president, President Obama, was in office, I thanked God for him, right? Thanking God for them doesn't mean you agree with everything. It just means you're going to speak, and I would say, Lord, thank you for our president. God, give him wisdom. Give him strength. Encounter him. Meet him, God. Give him wisdom. Help him to guide this nation to you. And then when President Trump became president, I said the same prayer. Thank you, God, for our president. God, give him strength. Give him wisdom. Help him lead this nation to you. And I already know the prayer I'm going to say over the next president, whether they're on the right or on the left or some weird thing in the middle. I don't know. Like, I don't even get it, right? But I'm like, okay, well, I already know the prayer I'm going to say. Thank you, God, for this president. And I thank you. I ask that you give him wisdom and strength and that they would lead this nation into your heart, God, and that there be revival. I already know the prayer I'm going to say is thank you, God, for the leader of this land. Right? And so, thank you, Lord. I feel like if Paul can do that over a demonic emperor killing Christians, I can do that over a party I don't agree with. Right? The last verse of this, Psalms 50:23, he says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. A sacrifice means something died. A sacrifice comes at a cost. A sacrifice means it hurt me to give this up. How is thanksgiving a sacrifice? I believe it's in those moments when you say, God, this hurts, but I'm going to choose to give you thanks anyway. I'm going to die to myself right now. I'm going to die to my opinion. I'm going to die to my pride. I'm going to die to myself. And whether I agree or not, I'm going to say, thank you, God, for this. even when it's painful, even when it's tragic, even when a family member, someone close passes away, through pain, through tears, giving the sacrifice of, even now, God, thank you for being so good. Even when I'm sick, thank you for being my healer. Those are the moments when thanksgiving is a sacrifice. And those are the moments I believe that God looks down and says, that honors me. Let's all stand together. Your last practical step is this. I want to challenge you. Find things you don't like and give thanks for them. Find the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Find what's hard and choose in that moment. I will find thankfulness even here. And watch how it's arrows that shoot back darkness in that area. Thankfulness is your weapon. Thankfulness, it's the gospel. Thankfulness is communion with God. Thankfulness is a throne for God. Complaining is a throne for Satan. And thankfulness is a weapon. It's true, it just is. And so to challenge you guys, practically get a journal, write out thankfulness. Schedule time. I have alarms that go off. They go, be thankful. Oh, yeah. Take a moment. Commune with God. You have to practically do something about it. And then express it out, speak it out. And find things that you're not thankful for and be thankful for them. We're going to take a moment now and we're just going to give thanks to God over 2019. Let's enter into 2020 by thanking him for all that he's done. This is your moment to practice what I just preached. Don't walk out of here and say, oh, that was a nice message. Activate it now. Activate it. It's hard. Just start. It's okay. It's a sacrifice. Find things. There's whatever it is. I thank you for my shoes. I thank you for this place. Like whatever it is, just start to let it out of your lips of thank you, God. Be personal. Commune with God in this moment. We're just going to take a moment and thank him. Thank him. And so you right now, just begin to lift up out loud, speak out, express, give that expression. Discover your wonder once again. Become intimate with the Lord once again through just thanking him for saving my life. You lift up a sound of thanksgiving, lift up a sacrifice to him right now. One-on-one, Jesus, thank you. God, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for healing me of depression. Thank you, God, for saving me when I wanted to die. Thank you, God, for taking me to the nations. Thank you, God, for healing me. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my family. God, thank you for healing my family, God. God, thank you, Lord, for my brothers. God, thank you for my sister-in-law. Thank you for my niece and nephew. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for my spiritual mom and dad, Daniel and Teresa. Thank you, God, for this family. Thank you for this community. Thank you for my city, God. Thank you for my home. Thank you that you're on the move, God, that you're healing lives, God, that you're releasing salvations, that thousands are getting saved. Thank you, God, that you're the God of miracles. You're the God of redemption. Oh, God, you're writing a story of redemption. You're the author of life. Thank you, God, that we know the ending of the story. It ends in victory. It ends in hope. It ends in life. And we give you worship today. We give you praise and honor. Thank you, God. Can we worship him for a moment? Just begin to worship him.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.
Thirsty limb, you give up your mercy.